Okay, so now we begin the section on the actual worship of the deities, the preliminary worship and the main worship of the yoga and the ija. So we've already discussed getting up in the morning and preparing oneself, taking bath, and all these things. So that is what is being done, waking up, offering obeisances to the spiritual master, chanting Hare Krishna, offering obeisances, then one can offer some prayers to the Lord. You know, anything to invoke some Krishna conscious thought. After sleeping, sometimes the mind is a bit sluggish, so by chanting some prayers, this purifies the mind and that. So then different prayers are given. One can follow, but any kind of prayer like that. Then taking your bath, dressing, putting your tilak. I don't know if we discussed it before. That this prayer, Lalate Keshavam Dhyayen, because it's also a recommended mantra for putting on tilak. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila purport. That it's going through and saying that the Lord, one must remember the Lord when he puts the tilak. So that means when one marks the forehead with tilak, he must remember Keshava. One marks the lower abdomen, he must remember Narayana. For the chest, one should remember Madhava. And when marking the hollow of the neck, one should remember Govinda. Lord Vishnu should be remembered while marking the right side of the belly. And Madhusudan should be remembered when marking the right arm. Trivikram should be remembered when marking the right shoulder. And Vamana should be remembered when marking the left side of the belly. Sridhar should be remembered while marking the left arm. And Hrishikesh should be remembered when marking the left shoulder. Padmanabha and Damodar should be remembered when marking the back. So, some, they mix the tilak with the lalate keshavam dhyayen. Not that it specifically mentions that that's what you do, but devotees couldn't figure out what to do with the mantra, since Prabhupada says it can be, it's used when putting on tilak. So here, then Krishna Kshetra Prabhu is writing that it says one should remember Keshava when applying the tilak. Right? When you're putting the tilak on the forehead, you should remember Keshava. But that's not invoking the Lord. Right? So one can take the tilak, and with that mantra, you can put it on, lalate keshavam jayen. Then, when you clear the space, that's when you're invoking the presence of that particular deity, or that, or Keshava, in this case. Right? Then, Narayanayam, Atodharet, when you're putting on the stomach. And then, Atodhare. And then, clearing it, Om Narayanaya Nama, like that. And that way one can go through all these. So like that, one can go through I don't know if we've discussed it before, but it mentions that here at this point. And that the area in the Sikha, as we mentioned last night, that's not, we may say Om Vasudevaya Namah, but that's not a Sikha marking. As you'll notice, it says 12 marks of Tilak. It never says 13. So with Damodar, that's 12. Right? So that means what extra Tilak is there, the hand is washed, and that is wiped on the back of the head, on the Brahmarandra. So that is Vasudev. So Om Vasudevaya Namaha. Then Achman is there. Now with Achman, Achman is done here. Say, does he tell? Okay. Don't give me more details unless it said something somewhere else. Okay. So now, going through these mantras, when you look at the water, when you're first doing Achman, the water that you have has not been purified. It's pure water, but it hasn't been purified, right, by any ritual, because you can't do any ritual until you've done Achman. So it's going to be very hard to purify the Achman before you do it. Therefore, when you take the water, you look at the water. When you're saying the going through this, Om Keshavaya Namah, Om Narayanaya, Om Madhavaya, these first three times when you're sipping the water, then you look at the water. And seeing the water, then you sip. Rule is whatever you're going to eat, you should see. Right? It's not that you eat in the dark or eat with your eyes closed, but you should see it before you put it into your mouth. One, that purifies it, and the other thing, that it ensures that you get the benefits from eating. Right? If at nighttime you're eating in the dark, then you do all the digesting, but someone else gets all the energy. Right? So if you like doing, how you say, philanthropic work for those who are not embodied, then you can do like that. But otherwise, the recommendation is that you should see what goes into your mouth. That is always. So the Achman, it should go, you should be seen, right, for that purpose. Then, after that, then, sprinkle water on the right hand, means in that because one has sipped water from there, with Govindaya Namah, and on the left hand with Vishnave Namaha. Then, touching right cheek and left, Vasudevaya Namaha, no, Madhusudanayama, Om Trivikramaya Namaha. And then, with Vamanaya Namaha, then put some water and wipe above and below. Vamanaya Namaha, Om Sridharaya Namaha. So that's above the lip and just below the lip. So that's on this lower joint of the, not the first joint of the thumb, but on the second joint, you know, just before it hits the palm. So you bend the thumb and you put some water there, and with that part, then you're wiping from left to right, upper, and left to right on the lower. Then you put some water, purify there. That's Hrishikeshaya Namaha. Then Padmanabhaya Namaha is some water on the feet. Now that does not mean you have to dig your feet out from under wherever they are and get them out into the open, and that means is that place where they are, like they're sitting, if you're sitting in swastika asana or like that, something asana with your legs crossed, then you take Achman spoons are designed in such a way, if you want a lot of water, then you pick it up and you fill the ladle. If you don't want a lot of water, you just want a drop, you stick the spoon in sideways. Means you know, from in a vertical position. And pull it out that way. And one drop of water, sometimes even two, will stay on the inside lip of the spoon, of the Achman. Right? It'll stay there. The Achman spoon, it'll stay in that, in the little place where it holds water. So because you don't want to pour a whole Achman spoon on each foot, it's just a drop. So one on one foot and one on the other. So even though the foot is underneath, you just put it in that direction. You don't have to pull out all your cloth, stick your foot out, and then, you know, take a full spoon and pour it over and that. And then the next question will be, well, you know, do I wash just the, one of the toes or all the toes? Do I pour it on top of the foot? Or should I keep the toes up and then pour it on that so some goes on the front or some on the back of the foot? Or does it matter if it falls off the foot from the right to the left, or should it go from the left to the right? Or is it inauspicious, you know, or the, what happens to the water on the floor? Because I stuck my foot out. I had all the puja paraphernalia in front of me, so I took my foot out from under and stuck it on the floor there, then poured it. Now what do I do with all the water that's on the floor next to the puja paraphernalia? So these are kind of questions that the, you know, yeah, that certain minds can dream up. But the whole point is we're dealing with something very subtle. So you just stick the spoon in a, you know, near vertical position, take one drop, flip it on one foot, and with the other drop, you know, the foot that's up, and then, because when you sit, then one will be up, one will be down, and then one in the direction of the other foot, because you're also dealing with the mind and all these things. So that's done there. Then same for the head. Head also, you just put it in, the spoon in, and then you take it and flip one drop on the top of your head. You don't fill up the spoon and then pour it on your head so it comes dripping off the sides, right? So if you have these small Achman cups, you know, it's bad, but it won't be so bad. But if you're a really fired up pujari, where you have one of these monstrous South Indian cups with a spoon, you know, big enough to, you know, cook rice in, you know, then one of those, then when you pour that on your head, then you will definitely have a bath, right? So now we're dealing with something more subtle than that. So the bath you've already had before the Achman. So it doesn't require that. One drop. Then we're taking, then we're doing a nyas on the body. So we're sipping the water. Then we're purifying the body, purifying the hands, purifying the face, the mouth, the feet, the head. So all that's been purified. And now by nyas, by mantra, touching the body in different places, then the rest of the body will be purified. So you're taking the tips of the fingers of the right hand. So that generally means just the four or the three fingers. That doesn't need to include the thumb. You know, just like the mudra you use for Achman. Like that. That touches above and below the lips. So that's Om Vasudevaya Namaha. Then the thumb and the forefinger. Then you touch the right nostril. So you're always going from right to left. So for the nose, the eyes, the ears, the shoulders, it'll always be right first and left. So Shankarshanaya Namaha and Prajumnaya Namaha. Then right thumb and the ring finger. That's for the eyes. Then Anirudhaya Namaha, Om Purushottamaya Namaha. Then you'll go back to the ring and the forefinger. Then that will be Adhokshajaya Namaha and Nadasinghaya Namaha. Then the thumb and the little finger will be for in the navel, Achyutaya Namaha. Then the heart with the palm of the hand flat, That'll be Janardhan. Then the head with all the tips of the fingers, with all the fingers together. You put them in a bunch. Touch on the top of the head, Upendrayanamha. Then you touch the right arm with the fingers. That's Hare Namaha. And the left arm with Krishnaya Namaha. Right? So it sounds pretty complicated, but it takes about 7 seconds. Once you've memorized all the names and know what to do. Like that. So it goes quite nicely. Then after that, then it's recommended one chant this verse from the Rig Veda, the Om Tad Vishnu Paramapadam. Sada pasyanti suraiha divi vichakshuratatam tadviprasa vipanyavo jagravagam sasamindate vishnur yat paramam param jagravagam. He didn't get the Chandrabindu here. So this is just as those with ordinary vision see the sun's rays in the sky, so the wise and learned devotees always see the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. Because those highly praiseworthy and spiritually awake brahmanas can see that abode, they can also reveal it to others. So this is very important. We purified ourselves, but now it is not that because now we are pure, now we're going to get everything done so nicely. But the point is so Achman is done before we do anything. So with this, we realize that it is through the grace or the association of the devotees that we get somewhere. Because the devotees, they can see the spiritual realm. They can see through the eyes of Shastra, or they have direct realization themselves. Then they can give that to you. So by approaching the devotees, we are able to get the goal we want, or understanding, realization, love of Krishna. So we must do this through the devotees. So this is the first thing we're doing technically now in the deity worship, is Achman. Right? All preliminary before that. But now when we start getting down to the actual technical, the fine preliminary. Before this has been all the gross preliminary. You know, waking up, taking a bath, you know, brushing our teeth, all these different things, dressing, tilak. All, you know, what we're doing with the body, the mind, these things, going to the temple, the Mangal Artik, then preparing the place, cleaning the temple, cleaning the deity room, cleaning the paraphernalia, then collecting it, right? So that's all the abhigamana, then the upadana, collecting all the different things like that. So all this is basically, you've dealt with the grosser aspect of cleaning and collection. Right? Up to now. But now with Achman, now we're starting the subtle purification. This is called Purva Karma. Purvanga Karma, excuse me. Purvanga Karma means those things that are done before. Purva, the first things, the beginning things. Right? So Purvanga means all the limbs of the first karmas. Right? First activities. So the Purva Anga Karmas, right? All the different limbs of activities that we do in the beginning, before we actually start. It means before we, it's just like in cooking. You collect the vegetables, you wash the vegetables, you know, you, like that. That's like the Abhigamana. Then you pick out what you want for what preparation. You start to cut them, you start to pick your pots, you know, which stove, which spoons. You know, what spices, that's all like the preliminary. It's now really well within the realm of cooking. But now you're getting into the, you know, actual things happening. But the real cooking doesn't happen until you put the thing in the pot, right, on the fire. Then that's the cooking. So in the same way, the Purvanga Karmas are all like cutting the vegetables, washing and picking all your paraphernalia, making everything ready, getting everything set up. But you actually haven't started putting anything in the fire, on the fire. So that happens with Ija, the main worship. So one must be able to, one must be able to distinguish between these two. They're all part of one thing, but one must be able to tell the difference between the two. It's very important. If one can't, then one shouldn't get into this complicated of worship. In other words, if you can't understand the subtleties of what is going on, then don't do such technical worship. Right? We'll go through this and discuss it. We should get what we can out of it. But otherwise, then one should go to the previous chapter, to this, where the simplified worship. Things are being done in English, you know, your own language. Very simple, essential elements are done, that's it. Like that. But this technical stuff, it's only worth adding the technical if you know what to do with it. Right? Just like Srila Prabhupada originally introduced the cooking. He gave all the basic, fundamental, important principles of cooking. Good, high-class, refined cooking. But he gave it in a simple way. You put some ghee, you put a little chili, you know, or some ginger, you put some cumin. When it's ready, throw in a little hing, put in your vegetables, put some salt, turmeric, mix them up. If you need, put just a little bit of water, put a lid. And then, now and again, you stir it. The salt will take the water out of the vegetable. It'll cook in its own broth. And you end up with a very tasty, very light vegetable. Then, and it's perfect. It's high class. It's refined. But it's simple. So now, if you want to complicate it more, like not necessarily refine it more, complicate it more, then you have to know what you're doing. So then devotees would bump into, you know, the congregational devotees, members, and, you know, well-wishers around the temple, you know, from the different communities, the Gujaratis and the Punjabis and the South Indians, the Bengalis, and then they would learn some things from them. So then so many more spices were introduced. You know, this kalojira, they call in the West Kalanji, and mustard seeds, and then all kinds of spices would come in. Coriander powder and mango, dried green mango powder, amchur. So many things would come in. But each one has a specific purpose, and it's used in a specific way with a specific vegetable or preparation. But the devotees didn't know this. They had been shown a preparation, but they just took it as a general thing, and just like Prabhupada gave, because you could take the cumin, salt, turmeric, cumin, chili, and hing, and basically put it in any preparation. Right? Your dal, any vegetable could be cooked in that way. It would always come out perfect. So the devotees thought, well, now anything, mustard seeds or panchpurm or kalojira or coriander, I'm sure, it's the same way. So without having the understanding, then they expanded the details, in other words, expanded the techniques, but didn't know what they were doing. So they would put too much, mix all kinds of crazy things, and then at one point probably just someone had put 5 million mustard seeds in, you know, half a cubic centimeter per centimeter of, you know, vegetable. And so then Prabhupada got very upset and said, you know, just simple. Cumin, turmeric, you know, salt, like this. And it was many years that, you know, then you couldn't even use anything else. I mean, it's like in India, devotees that lived in India had learned how to use different spices in different ways. And so then those who come from America say, hey, Prabhupada said you can't use any of that. And it was a whole thing for years on whether you could use mustard seeds, couldn't use mustard seeds. Because it was mustard seeds that was in that preparation Prabhupada didn't appreciate. But Prabhupada's point was, if you don't know how to cook, don't know how to, then don't expand. Just stick to the simple. Like that. That's proper. Because then it comes out first class. Simply done nicely is first class. And very complex done nicely is also first class. But complex done badly is not first class. Just because it's complicated doesn't make it good. Right? That's not the... Many times the Western mind thinks it's good. Just like you get so many times the teachings of you know, their, homemade, you know, philosophers. It's so complex, you can't even understand what they're talking about. They use all kinds of fancy language and put it together in amazing poetic ways. It doesn't mean anything. And because no one can figure out, then they figure, wow, this man must be very intelligent. You know, this is real philosophy. And if you state something simple, oh, okay, that's beginners. But the point is there's principles. And those principles must be maintained. They're maintained? Good. They're not maintained, then one needs to educate oneself. Knowing only the details is all right for someone who's just doing something simple. Understanding the principles is for those who can do things very deeply or teach others, you know, lead or train others. It means those that can't understand the principles shouldn't train or lead others. They should do for themselves, but they shouldn't necessarily do more. Because then you won't get the point across. Does that make any sense? So now we're going into the technical areas. So now we must try to understand what is going on. I'll try to explain as much as I can. Questions should be asked. You know, it'll be more difficult for those who have not done the deity worship to understand what's going on. But certain things have to be understood why we're doing them. When you understand why we're doing them, then you can understand whether for the situation I do it more simple or more elaborate. So the first thing of the Achman then is to get the blessings of the devotees. Purify oneself and get the Lord's and the blessings of the, or at least the understanding that approaching those who are superior, our superiors, then with their blessings, then we get somewhere. So that principle is established with the Achman, right? So the main essential thing is sipping the water three times, saying the three mantras, Keshava, Narayana, and Madhava. Right? Then one can go more than that and purify more of the body. And with Nyas, then we touch all the different parts of the body with the Lord's holy name. So the 24 names of Vishnu are then said. Right? With the first 12, we purify the body with water. And with the next 12, then we purify the body with Nyas. Right? Then we remember how because the sages are able to see. It's like it says, like we can see the sun. It's not difficult. So they, through the eyes of Shastra, and by the grace of their authorities, they can see the spiritual realm like we can see the sun. Right? And just like we would be able to point out to somebody where the sun is and the sun's rays and the effects of it, see the shadow and see the light and all this, with that ease, they can also show it to us, the spiritual realm. Right? So that is what is gained in the Achman. That's why the Achman is first. Right? We're purifying ourselves with water, with the Lord's names, remembering the Lord, and remembering the devotees who can reveal to us the Lord in His abode, His name, form, qualities, and pastimes. All right? Is that clear? Yes.
I can't understand the connection between purifying ourselves and getting the blessings of the devotees. How you connect?
Because you say that mantra when you finish. In other words, there's three stages to the Achman. The first stage is where four stages, but it's like you're sipping water, then you are purifying the body with water, other parts of the body, right? Then you're purifying the body with the Lord's names and with Nyas by touching the different parts of the body. Then, after that's done, then we remember that by the grace of the devotees, we will be able to understand the spiritual realm with this mantra, Om Tad Vishnu Parama Param Sadapa Santi Suraya. Right? So that is the essential thing. When we're pure, we're chanting the Lord's holy name, we're remembering the Lord, then, by the grace of the devotees, under their direction, we can ourselves also understand the Lord and come to that transcendental position. So the whole point of yoga is to bring ourselves to the transcendental position. So there'll be, by purifying ourselves, purifying the paraphernalia place, but this is all subtle purification, not gross, it's subtle. So with that, yeah, and that whole idea is to bring us to the same transcendental platform where we're working on the platform of Satchitananda. Then we can relate to Krishna, who is Satchitananda, his pastimes, which are Satchitananda. Everything is Satchitananda. Right? That is the purpose of yoga. That's why yoga is done before Ija. It means the main worship. Ija is the main worship. Yoga is the Purvanga karmas. We mentioned yoga, Purvanga karma, the preliminary activities. So yoga is the same. It means to link with the Supreme. So it means we come to the platform of being connected with the Supreme through a mechanical process, a step-by-step regulated process to guarantee that we get the job done. Right? Just like someone who's not very practiced, then you may give them a list of so many things to do. Right? But someone who's trained and habituated and is, you know, already absorbed in the work, understands what to do at what different times, how to make adjustments for the time, place, and circumstance, you don't have to leave them so much. For them, it's just simply, okay, keep the place clean and, you know, try to get this little thing done or that little thing done, and that's it, you know. 5-10 seconds worth of instruction, that'll keep them busy for a long time. But someone is new, then there's so many things you have to tell them. You know, you come in at this time, you unlock the door like this, you know, flick the security switch, and then you turn on these lights at this time, and then when you leave at this time they go off, and then you have to tuck this way, do the security switch, and you got to see that this is unlocked, and that's it. You go on pages and pages just trying to explain to them how to come in and open up the shop, right? But someone who already knows all that, you don't have to explain that. Then you just tell them, you know, make sure the place is secure, no one gets in, and, you know, it's like that. Keep the place nice and tidy and see that the workers are working and everything's going on. And so it's very simple. Nothing much. So that's the point of the Vaidhi Sadhana, is to train us so that we go through step by step. Therefore, the Acharyas have gone to such trouble. Therefore, we say, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Bhata Raghunath. We start with Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa gives us the devotional process, and Sanatan Goswami gives us, based on the same principles, how we will apply that in our life, how to engage our conditioned nature, you know, the body. In other words, what's the ritual? Like we say, chant Hare Krishna. Rupa Goswami will say, essential principle is chanting Hare Krishna. Right? But that's all he says. He doesn't say more than that. He'll tell the glories of it. He'll tell the benefits of it. He'll tell the potency, how it's non-different from Krishna. But do you see in Nectar Devotion, where Rupa Goswami says you have to chant on a mala with 108 beads? And they go from big beads down to small beads, and then there's the main bead, and you don't cross over that bead, and all these things. No. That will be in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Sanatana Goswami gives us those details. And Rupa Goswami gives us the process and the glories of it. Right? So in other words, Sanatana Goswami's business is to establish us as Krishna's servant. And then Rupa Goswami shows us how is Krishna's service to engage yourself in the Lord's activities. Right? So now if we're a servant, we have to know how to serve. Right? Right? We have to know what are the elements of service. So if we want to worship the Lord, then there's three things that are necessary. You must have ourselves, the sevak, right? There must be the Lord, the
Savior.
Yeah, the Savior. who the worship is being offered to. Then there is the service itself, right? The paraphernalia. So this is the, in other words, how you deal with the paraphernalia, mantras that will be chanted, any special information on dealing with it or preparing the paraphernalia, or technique in offering the paraphernalia, that will be given by Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami will simply say that we have to serve the Lord. Right? And by worshipping the deity, by chanting, by all these. But the technical details are given by Sanatan Goswami. So that means to make the one practical for the conditioned soul, you must have the other. Right? If we're not on the bodily platform, then you don't need any of these things. You don't even need beads. Right? And it's nice to have beads, chant, and like that. But you'll chant 24 hours anyway. Beads? No beads. You'll be chanting 24 hours. Like that. I think there's a story about Arjuna or something. Someone was saying about who is the best devotee and all that.
Narada.
Huh? Somebody was talking with Narada? And there's this point where they go in and they listen, I forget, wherever it's at his feet or his hair or something like that, and it was, they could hear chanting. In other words, he was asleep and chanting was still going on. You know that? You heard that?
No, not Arjuna, not somebody else.
But the point was, is they were asleep, still the chanting's going on. But I don't even think it wasn't even the mouth, it was just, you know, their hair or feet, some like that, you could hear it. It's just this taunt constantly going on.
Lakshmi's Babaji spent 3 days in a house in Navadvip, and when after he left, one other Babaji moved in and he heard all night the bricks are chanting Hare Krishna.
The bricks. Yes, so that's the point.
It was the Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj.
Also Krishnadas Babaji.
He was taking a, he had some physical problems. They took him to Delhi because he's from Vrindavan. And the doctor was listening to his heart. And, you know, he was not chanting with his mouth, but from within the heart, he could, with his listening, he could hear the Maha Mantra.
Yes, now this is.
I heard it from Govinda Maharaj.
From?
Govinda Maharaj.
Govinda, yeah. That's funny things. I saw myself when he was chanting. He'd be chanting. And you could see him chanting. You know, you could see Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then you ask him a question. And he would answer. And then when he'd finish the answer, whatever was the point in the mantra where it would have been if he hadn't answered you, that's where you'd see him continue chanting. Like you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then you say, you know, you'll take prasad now? Yeah, no problem. Like that, and you know, Rama Rama Hari Hari, like that. And he's already on the other half. In other words, the chanting is always going on.
Uh-huh.
Like that. He's always conscious of that at the same time as he can respond to you.
Yeah.
Like that, the two things are going on at once. You know, for us it may be difficult, but it's just like, you know, the mother can be cooking and also thinking of the child and talking and, you know, doing all these many things at once, you know, with training the human brain and activities is multitasking. So like that, you find that when one is trained in the spiritual, one can also, all these things can happen. So the point is on that platform you don't need all these rules, because that will go on. You're chanting all these things, worshiping the Lord, it'll all go on. So these rules are here to ensure that we as conditioned souls do it. And that there's a basic pattern and principles that if we follow, the Lord will be pleased. Right? So in the beginning it's mechanical. So in the beginning we just are, you know, trying to memorize the mantras, memorize the technique, you know, the order of things, how to do things. Then once we learn that, then that's where the real worship starts. right? Many times devotees think that's where it's finished. No, that's where it starts. Once you know all the mantras, you know what to do, you can do it without having to think. Then you can now really start to introduce the conscious devotion, right? Before that, the devotion is there because this is Krishna's rules. They are given by the acharyas. Rupa Goswami is said to worship the deity. Sanatana Goswami has given us the methods how to do it. And we are doing it. We want to please. So that is affection that we want to do. But we're so busy with all these mantras it's not in the forefront of our mind. While once we've memorized those things and we have it down by practice, it's habit, then we see, now we can each thing we're doing remember the Lord very nicely. So the body and mind are engaged in going through the motions of the vaidhi, but at the same time as our mind and the, you know, our emotions are engaged in thinking of Krishna, how to do it nicely for Krishna and all those things. So the two things go on at once. So that is the whole idea. So here we're preparing ourselves, the sevak. Right? At another point we'll see that we're preparing the paraphernalia. Then with Ija, we're offering that to the Lord, the Savior. Right? Right. So the paraphernalia now is offered. Right? So we have ourself, the paraphernalia, the Lord. Purvanga karma means the subtle purification of ourself to bring it to the transcendental platform. The purification and recognizing that the paraphernalia is on the transcendental platform because it's the Lord's. Preparing the mind by doing worship in the mind. Then we come to that platform, the transcendental platform. Then we start offering all these things to the Lord, all the paraphernalia. That is called Ija, the worship. And before that is all preparation, right? So one has to be, in other words, Pancharatra is a system, but it's also a way of seeing things. It develops the fineness, how to differentiate between the different situations so that you know what to do, when, how. Because in the daily worship, okay, that's there. You have to differentiate because things don't always go the way you want. There's some adjustments that have to be made. But then more important than that is like on festival days, that's always going to be different. You can never guarantee that this Janmashtami we had all these things and all these different people. 1 year later, you can't say, I'll have all that stuff. Or I may have it all, but how I got it, or how I apply it, the situation. You know, before it was just an intimate small group of devotees. We did it in this way. Now we've got hundreds of devotees or thousands of devotees. It'll be slightly different. Main principles will remain. They'll never change. But the details may change. Like that. Okay? So is there any questions on this kind of thing?
Question on the Achaman.
Question on the Achaman, yes.
On the Sati Sutta, when you do this with the Pramana,
yes.
And lower lid, then on Rishikesha Nama, it's just single water on both hands.
Yes.
Sometimes I see, the water just keep the left hand on the spoon, and then just purify the right hand, which attach the
liquid.
So it's both.
So then after that, then they should switch the spoon to the right hand and put some on the left. Okay. Like that. Because you do both hands. Because when you put water on your feet and water on your head, you're going to do that with your right hand. So the spoon will need to go back to the right hand. In other words, the spoon is in the right hand the whole time except for this one. Then it goes to the left hand. Okay? Anything else? No? Okay, then establishing Samanya Argya, or general Argya water. Okay, now this Samanya Argya is used throughout the Purvanga Karmas. Samanya means general or simple. And Visesh means elaborate. So just like what we went through here, the Vaishnava Achman or Visesh Achman means going through all the 24 names and chanting these Om Tad Vishnu Parama Padam. Then you can have Samanya Achman, which just means you just sip the water three times with the three names, Keshava, Madhava, and Narayana. It's simple, right? Simple, general, like this. And then this is Visesha, which means it's full, like that. All right? So now this is Samanya Argya, which will be used for purifying ourselves, the paraphernalia, and doing any preliminary worship that we will do to the paraphernalia, to the spiritual master, to Lord Chaitanya, before we start worship of Radha and Krishna. Okay. Okay, so now your Panchapatra. See, is now when you're doing the worship, like if it's in the home or something, then you may just have one Achman cup, or in most temples they just deal with one Achman cup. But if you want to do a little bit more technical standard, then there'll be two Achman cups. Right? There's the Achman cup that you use to do Achman with, and or wash your hands. And that's it. Then you have another Achman cup that is used for purifying the paraphernalia and subtler purifications on yourself and on for the worship. Right? So for that one, then you pour water there, and then you take some water and sprinkle it on that. And I say, here it's mentioning chanting Om Ashraya Fat. Then one can use mudras for purification or not. And then if it's Ganga water, like in Mayapur, it'll be Ganga water. Vrindavan will be Jamuna water. Means even it's tap water, if it's from the local place, if it's come from the ground within 3 kilometers of the Ganga or Jamuna, then it's water of that river. So when it's not necessary to invoke the Ganges. This mantra, Om Gange Cha Jamuna Chaiva Godavari Saraswati, Narmade Sindhu Kavari Jalasmin Sanidin Kuru. So that can only be used if it's not water from one of these seven rivers. If it is water from one of these seven rivers, then if you use this mantra, instead of coming, they'll go away. Right? You understand? Just like a guest comes to your house. And when he comes inside your house and he's sitting down there, then you say, why do you know you don't come to my house? Why don't you come? I invite you so many times, you never come. And you're sitting going, what is he talking about? I'm sitting right here. You know? Then, you know, if he keeps on going like that, then they'll think, excuse me 1 minute. The postmaster's calling me or something. You know, you'll step out for a minute and then not come back. So if it's already Ganga water or Jamuna water or any holy river, then this would not be done. Like that. This mantra would not be used. Then afterwards, one can invoke Bija's syllable into the water, to purify it. So it's not that it's just there, but you're bringing it up to even a more powerful position. It's Ganga water, and now you're putting mantra into it. Right? So this makes it more. So one can put any, you can put a bija syllable, you can put a mula mantra, or you can put a Gayatri mantra. Right? But generally, since it's Samanya Argya, you'll just stick to something more simple. And one also has to remember that this will be sprinkled around on all kinds of things like this. So generally, one would not be over-enthusiastic to use, you know, the more detailed bijas or Gayatri mantras that deal with deities, specific deities. Right? Because then that personality is there in the water, and then you're sprinkling them all over the floor and this and that. And so in that case, generally one will just invoke Om. Because Om is Radha Krishna, the living entities, but in the form, in a form, how you'd say, it's not exactly, as Prabhupada explained that. The personal aspect, you know, is not as strongly manifest. It's a more general. You know, it's more like tattva rather than personality. Like that. So it's more general, you can do like that. It's not, in other words, it's not specific. You have the Lord, His internal potency, and the living entities. Right? Because everything is that anyway. The material nature and all that is the Lord. It's not different from Him. It's His energies. And we're dealing with this to remember the Lord and to connect it back to Him. So on that platform, then the Om in the water works very, very nicely. Because Krishna, through His expansion, you know, the Brahman, He has entered the material creation and gives life to it. So through His energies, He has entered. And it makes everything alive. Otherwise, its material nature is just dead matter. So in the same way, then one puts the bija syllable in, and in this case, it's best Om, so that it is not so specific. Right? Is that understood? Just like Krishna says, you know, of what do you call it? Bodies of water, I am the ocean. You know, if you're playing in the ocean, it's not a direct insult to Krishna. You understand? But if you go and play in Radhakund or Shyamakund, then you're dealing, that's non-different from them. Is that understood? Because in other words, Krishna's potency is manifest in the ocean, that power. So in the same way as that potency is manifested in Omkara. But it's not specific, like the Kama Bija, Kama Gayatri, like this. So therefore it is preferred in this situation. When we get to the next section, Ija, then we'll see, then we will prefer using the direct Gayatri mantras and Mula mantras of the deity. That's a different point, because then whatever water in that is used, it's offered to the deity. Right? So Krishna says, He is the ritual, He is the ingredients, you know, Kratu, and the, what do you call it? What is the other thing? Yeah, he's the fire, He's the ghee, the offering, he is the ritual, He is the mantra. So it's all Him. Sacrifice is all Him. So therefore, the paraphernalia is brought to that platform by installing the deity into it or recognizing it as his associates or like this. Then it's offered. So do we see the difference between the two platforms? Right? One is the platform of the Ija, or the main worship, and one is the platform of the preliminary activities. Right? Do we understand that? Yes? No? Then, okay, and then at this point, one can chant Gayatri. For that, you know, preliminary purification of ourself. Yeah. Or it can be done just a little bit later when we do the Buddha Shuddhi. Like that. Okay. So this brings us up to the point where we're actually going to start. We're going to go into the deity room and actually start doing something. Okay. Any other questions on any of these things? Because tomorrow we'll start, we'll enter the deity room, waking the deities, these things.
I had a question from yesterday's class.
From yesterday's class. About?
About offering obeisances.
About offering obeisances.
Yes.
What is that?
The offering obeisances with the mind. And then I heard two things you should meditate. You should meditate on either touching your hands to the Lord's lotus feet with the right hand to the right foot, left hand to the left foot.
Mm.
And also, as mentioned in a book, you should be meditating that your head is below the Lord's feet, or his feet are on top of your head. So you should try to do both, or just one of them. Or which one is more recommended for you?
I don't think it really matters whichever one you feel comes more easily. Anything else? Yes.
Instead, I have seen that they do Ajman two times. Any specific reason for doing Ajman two times? Because also the book says that if your mind is disturbed or something,
generally, before doing something really serious, then they'll do two times. Does that mean that they'll go through the full 24 names two times, or just sipping the water two times?
Two times, the full thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, generally, before one starts a major activity, like doing puja, doing a yajna. Like that, or if one has been in a more unclean state to purify oneself, then they'll do it twice. Because many times, the first time through, you're not concentrating. So the second time through, then you start to concentrate. So if something's more serious, then two times is recommended. The scriptures mention that. The purpose is just to increase the concentration. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one can do that peacefully, regularly, then it's fine. But until one can do like that, then one should not... I mean, one can do fine for themselves, but unless it's regular, he should not, you know, recommend it for others. One should be very careful about coming across a rule and then getting very fired up because one's found a new rule, something new, far out, and then propagating it to everybody before oneself has been established in it. You know, it's something, if it's just a basic fundamental thing you have to do, like do Achman, okay, that's okay. But in this case of doing Achman fully twice, then that we should see that ourselves, we can do that regularly and with a peaceful mind. We don't think, well, it takes too much time or things like that. You understand? So the point is one must match the depth of technicality that we use with the depth that our mentality can actually go and engage it properly. Just like we mentioned with the cooking at the beginning of the class. If you know how to use so many varieties of spices for various situations, then that's first class, because the principles of cooking are met. You know, it's cooked properly, it looks nice, it has a good aroma, the taste is proper, it's healthy. It's all these different things. You get it done, but you can get it done in a more elaborate way. That's fine. But if you don't know the principles, don't get very elaborate. You know what I'm saying? So in the same way as in the puja, as we understand, we ourselves are more accustomed with it, the mind is peaceful, we can be steady in it, then we can increase the depth of the technicality of our rituals, you know, evenly. But we shouldn't get like into, you know, double achman, so at the same time as then half the rituals we don't do because we think it takes too much time. You know what I'm saying? Like that. How deep we go. Just like the simplified worship. If you're doing simplified worship, then you just do simplified worship. You don't do a few things really heavily technically. Right? And if you're going deeper than what we're going through now, you do that. Then if we want to go more technical, then you read the supplement. All right? You understand? Yes.
In the elaborate Purvanga Karma, there are, you do tik bandhana twice. First you sprinkle the water in 10 directions, and then you snap your fingers and surround you with a wall of fire. So when in simplified, which one would you...
No, it's not a matter of twice. Yeah. They're all doing different things. We'll discuss that when we come to it.
Okay.
Yeah. When we're on doing these things, better to stick to the area where we are. Mm. If you jump around, you confuse everybody. Okay. My point is that the depth that you go, so you see that there's a consistency there. Like that. Sometimes, according to the time, place, and circumstance, you have more facility in one area than another. Technically, you may do the same depth, but it may not be as elaborate. The technicality may go as deep, but not maybe as elaborate. You know, just like you take in Vrindavan, because there's such an abundance of milk there. Then, when they do abhishekas, they will increase the amount of milk especially that they offer to the deity. So they're doing an abhishek. I heard Radharaman, they bathe them with 500 liters of milk. They don't bathe with 500 liters of yogurt and 500 liters of ghee and 500 liters of honey and 500 liters of sugar water. No, just the ghee is, I mean the milk is like that. Everything else is in a much, you know, quite a small quantity. You know, I've heard a few liters. But the milk is huge. So that's just there. It's the land of cows. They have so much. They know how much Krishna is. So they elaborate on that. Technically, it's the same, whether you offer 500 liters or one liter of Panchamrita each. That's just more... That's not... It's not technically any deeper. Right? It's the same technique. If I offer Arabhishek, I do 1 liter of each of the five. And in Radharaman, they do 500 of the milk and 1 liter of the others. It's the same. Right? Now, let's say I'm in a place where ghee is of it. I may use more ghee. You know? Or just like that. Honey. We have so... Like, honey is not so easily available. Now, if I live in a place where, you know, all we do is make honey all day, then we may offer more honey. You understand? So there's the, you know, the opulence of what you're offering. And, or the, how you say? Yeah. Yeah, the, basically the opulence of it. Or, and then there's the technicality of it. Right? So, technicality, there should be a basic evenness throughout your puja. But the elaborateness of the opulence, or, you know, like that, that can change according to what is available. You're in tropical countries, maybe so much fruit is available. You're in some other place, it's not available. You know. You're traveling, you can't be as opulent as when you're not traveling. Right? But technically, you can still do all the ritual. Right? You can offer the fruit, but now you're traveling, all you can get a hold of is one banana. That's what's offered. But fruit is offered. While I'm sitting in our place, and so many varieties and so many things can be offered. You understand?
Yes.
Like that. Okay. So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare